Welcome to Caribbean Millennials.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 12 of the Caribbean Millennials podcast. This week we have a special episode. So Anushka's not with us, she's traveling. So, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Right, Adani?
Yes, you know, that is the idea.
You know, so...
And no slave driver.
No slave driver, you know, no Babylon holiness back in Taylor.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of talk about.
Exactly. So we can go wild.
Yeah, it might get a little wild. So
yeah,
for this episode, we brought in a special guest with us, McCartney Popo, because this is going to be, the first of a series. So we call this one Guys Talk, all right? And today...
There will be a girl's talk,
you know. So, Popo, introduce yourself to the podcast. Say hi.
Hi, all. I'm an avid listener of Caribbean Millennials, and it's an honor to be with you guys today.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in no form or shape a replacement for the awesome Anushka, but I will do my best to make you guys proud and make this a very informative discussion.
Okay. All right.
Now all the pleasantries are out of the way.
Right? So
let's get down to the brass tax.
Brass tax,
I don't know why they say brass tax. Why it's not gold tax or something else.
Or silver tax.
Yeah, we'll have to do some research on that. We'll have to find out.
If that's any a whole episode. Knows, any listeners know, let us know why they say brass tax. Right? But, all right. So, we're talking today. Remember we were in a group and someone posed a question and I thought it was a real good question. So I posed it here, that's our discussion. What does it mean to be a man in this generation? So who wants to go first?
Well, I can go first since I'm the guest.
Yeah.
And then you all can wrap it up as the experienced ones. So for me, being a man in this generation is so complex. Right, than it used to be. I would say 70s, 80s. There's so many more factors that you have to apply to your own self when it comes to being a man.
Okay.
I would say we're gonna broaden it later, but on a surface level, you have to be true to yourself. You have to be respectful to others. You have to be able to be a protector to those around you, show a sense of security, show a sense of honor. And with those basic points as foundations, most would agree that that's what it takes to be a man in our generation.
You say so?
Interesting.
Okay. Adani, rebuttal your vision?
Addition.
My version of being a man in this generation is basically, holding up the good ideals of our forefathers.
Yeah.
But trying to make ways forward to kind of adapt to how things are in this current generation and going forward in the future on what we want to impart on our future generations.
Okay.
Yeah, so things that were acceptable, 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 years ago, going forward might not be the same thing. So, you kind of have to adapt and teach the future generation what is right and then how to adapt from that.
Okay.
So, if for instance, how men used to pick up women before in the olden days, and caught women and,
hit them on the head with a club.
Yeah. Back in those times. That's not acceptable anymore. You have to...
I can hit somebody in the head with a club and drop now.
Yeah. You can hit somebody in the head with a club, but preferably not the woman you're trying to go out with. That would just make for a complicated relationship.
My mind is blown.
True.
Boy. Yeah.
Some women do like a bit of rough. Anyway, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, there's a difference between rough and bonk on the head. Yeah. Like, you know, like rough and brain cancer. Like, you know, slight, you know, a slight line.
A thin line. A thin line.
Shouldn't cross.
Yeah, boy. So that's your take on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Hela, my take. Now, my take is based on what I have seen as an example, i.e. my yes. father. So mm-hmm. for me, and it's part of what you said too, you have to be a provider. You have to provide comfort, you know, security, make people feel safe, food, shelter, everything they need. But then also you have to be able to know when to give up control. And I say that in that, like, my father always, there were certain things he didn't necessarily get involved with. He left it to my mother. He trusted that she could handle it, so he relinquished control of those tasks to her and let her handle it. So I feel it's being able to, you know, provide, you know, be the person going out there, bringing home the bacon, but also being able to share that responsibility with your significant other. Because you don't want to make the other person feel like you just have them there just to clean your house and cook and clean and take care of your children. You have to be able to support them, provide support as well. Support, safety, you know, comfort. These are the things. When I think of that, you have to be able to provide these things. And also being able to speak your mind and see how you feel when you feel it.
Now, you see, that last point you said there is really big for our generation when it comes to being a man. Because a lot of men feel like when it comes to being in touch with that softer side, it diminishes their manliness. You know, just being able to express your thoughts, being able to say exactly how you feel, you know, being able to... Okay. Like, you see, even the part...
That, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, like, I feel like men have to walk this kind of super tight rope that you find in the circus, because they want, like, the society wants you to be in touch with your feelings, but you cannot be too in touch with your feelings. Otherwise, like, you too emotional.
No, but let me tell you something. Well, not tell, but, you know, give my perspective on that. First of all, you're saying it's like being in touch with feelings and, you know, the softer side. But why it have to be a softer side? My father was the kind of person. Well, my father is the kind of person. Because he's still around, he speaks his mind. He says how he feels at all time. He doesn't bite his tongue. He doesn't, you know, hold back and whatnot. So, and it's not necessarily that it's necessarily a softer side. It's just he believes in saying it as it is, and I agree.
Oh no, in terms of softer, I would look at those feelings that are closer to the heart, because in terms of telling it as it is, that is somebody that is very sure within themselves, which is one of the a top quality, because when you show within yourself, you can express yourself freely without being fearful of whether or not you'll be opposed by the other party in the conversation. So some people are too afraid of being wrong or too afraid of being told otherwise that they just keep things to themselves, so they don't actually express themselves on a regular basis. But then with the softer side statement, it was more like, some men genuinely don't know how to show care without thinking it's diminishing their manliness.
Yeah,
so they don't know how to... Mm.
But then that goes back to the whole thing you're saying of being sure of yourself. Because if I know of myself, I know when I'm doing something. It's not that I'm looking soft. It's just I'm just showing you, oh, I care. That's just what it is. So, and that shouldn't have to take away from your manliness.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, I bet you some of the hardest killers out there are the most emotional people, eh?
Of course, should bring the daughter by them. What soft teddy bear?
So I don't know. I think maybe you're right. Maybe and maybe it's outside pressure from other people and maybe the opposite gender that, you know, you need to be hard, you need to be tough.
Because we spoke about previous generations and like Adani said about teaching, I think that's what we can impart when it comes to our kids, is that it's okay to cry. From that youth level growing up, it's okay to express yourself, you know, because I'm sure like our fathers and grandfathers were told, why are you crying? You're not a girl. You know, those kind of statements were used because emotions and tears were linked to the fairer sex. But then I think with us going forward, because of all the knowledge we've learned and all the different, you know, movies or things we've seen or things we've read, we know how to do it a bit better now. Well, so going forward, we can, yeah.
Well, for me, it's always been fix the problem and then cry later.
No, but you just follow. You just follow.
No, serious, because I've always had this mentality that the time I spend crying over it, I could be fixing it. So let me fix the problem and then cry later. That's just
how we're talking about like a 4 to 7 year old boy that fall down.
Nah, man. So, fix the problem.
I mean, later, my G. Okay.
Or pick and choose who you're crying in front of. Because there are some people you don't want to cry in front of them, because then you cry in front of them and then immediately they believe, oh, you're weak. So then they can try and test you. But then that's just my combative mind. I'm sorry. You're not a very combative person, so maybe that's what it is. But in my mind, it's like, there's certain people I will freely cry in front of. Nothing, no problem with that. But other than that, it's like, let me fix the problem. I go cry later. I will cry in secret, like... that not everybody needs to know out here I soft like that. So.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, okay, how do you guys think, as we're just on previous generations, how do you guys think this kind of podcast episode would have run, in a previous generation, be it like the 70s, 80s? Like, if the question came up saying, what does it mean to be a man in this generation? What do you think the conversation would have been like?
Okay. I see fellas saying, well, you know, provide for my family, you know, protect my family, make sure my children are fed, you know, and buy them all the things they need. But I feel like it's more back then, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it was more material support. Because in this day and age, this generation where we are now, where everybody can do the same thing, you know, women working and whatnot. Some women don't necessarily need material support. They just need, like, emotional support. They need you to be there behind them, cheering them on, go, you can do it, that kind of thing. They don't need you to buy them things and whatnot. So I feel back then it was all about providing and buying and giving and that kind of thing. And now it's a mixture of that and maybe more towards of emotional support. So knowing that I dare for you to come home and vent to after work or cry to her, and they're cheering you on like, yeah, you can do it, that kind of thing.
I agree. I think like in the... I'm not sure, but from what I've read and my research and all that kind of stuff, I think back in the 70s and the 80s and before that, when women were not as liberated as they are now, men were the sole breadwinners most of the time, unless you were talking about like during the war, when women were actually the breadwinners, because men were at war, so women had to basically run the household. So, you know, the talk can, I guess, switch from generation to generation, because if you ask somebody in the 30s, the 20s, the 40s, you know, and like what it meant to be a man, they'd be like, you know, go and fight for my country, you know, protecting freedom, you know, and protecting my family by going to war, etc. When somebody in the 70s and the 80s might be like, yeah, well, making as much money as I can, buying them a house, you know, send them to school, you know, paying for their schooling and, you know, taking care of my wife, making sure she has all the money she needs to make a home. But now, you know, it could be like, you know, just supporting my household in any way that I can.
Or being an equal contributor to that.
Yeah, exactly. Being an equal contributor, making sure I respect my wife, making sure she's comfortable, my children are comfortable, sharing the responsibilities of the household, you know, stuff like that. So it changes, I think, from generation to generation to generation. Even though you maybe go back to the 1600s, 1800s, 1700s, being a man just means, like, you know,
power.
Finding a wife, taking over the seas, you know. being a pirate.
These scurvy dogs.
You know, decimating the whole village, you know.
Looting and plundering.
Yeah, you know, Damon look at me wrong, so me and my boys go to rule and mash Damon village there, you know. And
In the Wild Wild West, you know.
I'm all right.
Yeah, me look at my woman the wrong way, so we're going to go
and killing him and taking all the women.
At high noon.
You know, meet me in the street. We having the showdown at high noon. But Missy, you made a comment there about respect, and I feel that's a big one. And I'm not sure. I wouldn't say we don't have it, but I don't think it's necessarily as prevalent. And I say that in that, like, I see how some people is like interact with other people and even like the opposite sex, and it's like, my G, you just don't have no respect the way you're talking to people. And I feel like respect, that's a big thing. Like, if you want people to respect you, you kind of have to give some respect to it.
Agreed.
Yeah, very true.
And because let me tell you that, I never see my father disrespect my mother. My father never tell my mother shut up or anything. My father never disrespect my mother. And it's always like, if they had an issue, they settle it, they talk about it, they voice their feelings, and we settle the issue. Nobody ever disrespect the other. So I feel that's another thing that I feel should be a key quality or a requirement for you to say, well, yeah, I'm a man, I guess, in the generation. You have respect for others, but also you have people respect you.
Yeah, because you have respect for yourself, so you carry yourself with, exactly, you know, the utmost high levels of deportment. Because what's funny with the three of us is that, having known you guys for so many years, I feel like we were raised in three similar homes, even if we were like north, sure, center, and you know, east of St. Lucia. Like, being friends with you guys and having spoken to you guys over the years and being to you guys' houses and stuff, you can see that the family portrait is kind of similar.
Yeah.
So we come from three different households, but yet still, that generation where our fathers were coming down to us was much different and much more cohesive in terms of the family unit. So the approach to raising kids was not just, you know, solely on the mother. You know, the approach to maintain the household wasn't just solely on the mother. True. So I think our dads were on that cusp where the change was happening, whereby it was a unit. When it comes to like running a family, it was a unit, and respect was shown throughout. So that's really good for us, because now we can pass on even more information to our kids.
Yeah, and I feel that it was always, in my mind, it's always a good thing the way that, like, my parents or our parents raised us, in that, like, mm-hmm, we always made sure that we knew family was very important. It was very key in our upbringing, and that, so, like, now, like, I grew up and I know still family is important to me. Like, to the point that I have friends, i.e. people like you and Adani, that I don't consider friends anymore. You're basically family to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like, it's gone to a point, like, for me, for instance, like, in my mind, I may have a small circle, I may not be, you know, popular, I have a super large amount of friends, but the ones that I have, they are enough, because my friendship with them is so strong, that's all I need.
And I think our dads taught us that. But okay, so I'm gonna raise a counter question to all what we've said. Does the definition of being a man lie heavily within the family realm, or can it just lie solely on the man himself? Like, because a lot of the points you've given link back to family. So what about just on his own?
I say it's a mixture.
Okay.
You cannot do it on your own. No man is an island.
Nice.
It's true. You cannot do it on your own. And if you're not practicing it at home in your family, then how you can do it outside when you're out there on the streets? You check it?
True. Mm-hmm.
So that's how. What you do? You feel differently about it?
No. I agree. I just raised it for any listeners who were thinking that we spoke about family a bit too much. But then I think the family aspect is both as a child and into the growth of a man. So it's not just as a man, you know, but
Yeah, because what you do, in my mind, what you do when you grow up and when you become a man, what you do then is based on what you've learned up to that point, you know. And you usually have some kind of family structure around you, be it you have both parents or you have one parent, but you have somebody impacting some kind of, you know, values on you. So what you do as a man is based on the values you gained as a child. So,
Danny, with your close relationship with your grandfather as well, how did that impact you on what you thought it was to be a man?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we have similarly different interactions, because yes, our mother and father try and impact, like, you know, similar values on us, but Danny had the benefit of having his grandfather being around.
I had two sets of grandfathers, so
exactly,
like, one was very spiritual and very, like, you know, religious. So he used to impart on me, like, because he was actually a deacon in the Canvas Church.
Okay.
So he used to impart on me, like, you know, kind of religious wisdom.
The importance of God in your life.
Yeah, exactly. The importance of God in your life. And just not really God, but just spirituality and, you know, believing in yourself, having faith and, you know, all that kind of thing. And that's a stark contrast to my other grandfather, who was more... like, you know, he was wild.
Danny, was he a gyalis?
Well, I guess I'm not sure what the term in the 50s and the 60s were.
He was a cock.
Yes.
Like, I have seen it.
Well, I guess that would be the terminology. And, like, you have family members all over the place, like, you know. But, like, he was the person that was like, yeah, whatever I do, I'm going to take care of you. You know, I'm going to provide. And I'm going to work till the day I die to make sure that everybody have enough money to do whatever they need to do. I'm going to send all my kids to school. But then he was more of a kind of like, I'm going to do all of this. So whenever I do what I do, don't talk to me.
Fair enough.
It's like, I have five women, but are you not taken care of?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you die though? Yeah. Did you die though?
Yeah,
right?
It was very no nonsense. Yeah, you know, like when I go in about my business, don't me about business, right?
Yeah.
Let me go and do my thing.
I work hard.
And I play hard. Don't get in your feelings. And if you don't like it, you know where the door is. So yeah, he was really that kind of person. So, like, you know, no nonsense. Everybody just fall in line. And if you ever fall in line, then take a hike.
Okay.
And what's funny, Danny, I can see both those, I guess, teachings throughout my friendship with you, both the spiritual, you know, high self-belief and, you know, faith, you know, those cores are there. And I know 100% you are Mr. No Nonsense. Yeah. So,
oh, yes.
I'm multiple sides.
We know.
Oh, boy. So in terms of, like, you know, all that you've mentioned, how much you think society impacts the way we view ourselves as men, or what, like, the view of what a man is? How much you think society has to do with that nowadays?
A lot. And the reason why I say a lot, you see this thing, social media. It's so easy for somebody to criticize somebody. Like, I can do something and y'all can take a video of it and somebody in Australia can come and criticize me on it and maybe say I'm not manly enough or something based on something I do, you know.
So is this whole thing of
social media, but then also it has to do with the person's, I want to say, your self-esteem and your belief in yourself. Because if you have a high self-esteem and you believe in yourself, you know, no matter what anybody's saying around you, you don't care. That's not affecting you. You're going about your business. You stick into your guns on what you're doing. But the moment you know you're unsure of yourself and people start giving their criticisms, start flying, and people start wanting to, you know, impact, you know, give their opinion, you know, immediately you like a flag in the wind, you're moving left and right, you can't stick to your guns, you're doing what everybody else is saying.
As our grandparents would say, you are lele.
Boy. So, I believe society, it plays a part to the extent that we let it play a part.
That's true. Because I think if we go back to that time in San Lucia where the hot couture event for jazz,
yeah,
and the men had to wear lipstick and stuff, and people were criticizing them from head to toe. And I'm like, these guys are models. Do you see people not see international fashion shows?
Yeah,
you know, like it showed me that the society that was criticizing those guys, you know, within, I guess I can name call St. Lucia. The society of people who was criticizing those guys in St. Lucia were thinking a bit backward. Because for me, if you take a step back and you realize what that whole fashion show was trying to do, was bring international standards within St. Lucia on the back of, you know, the jazz festival.
Yeah.
So things that are talked about, things that are wild and you know, crazy and out there is what gets people going, especially when it comes to fashion. So when I saw that, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think of the guys themselves, because the guys didn't band together and be like, hey guys, let's put lipstick. You know, it was a thing of, this was what the fashion, the designer wanted, this is what they did. Obviously, it made headlines, yeah, and I guess that was already what they wanted to do. But then the look of it afterwards was like that those guys were lesser men because they had worn lipstick. And that, you know, when you see things that society can be so rough when you sometimes, depending on which society, you know, you're in.
In my mind, it didn't make them lesser men. In my mind, all the things is that the guys did the job that they were paid to do.
Thank you. Paid. Yes, exactly.
That's their job.
Exactly.
What they were paid to do. So,
but it's it.
It doesn't make them any lesser of a man because they wore lipstick. That's what they were paid.
Exactly.
When actors so, in Hollywood acting and they putting makeup on them, nobody questioning.
Or they're kissing other guys.
Nobody
criticizes, nobody bad tonight, because it is what it is. You know, and I'm not saying that in, you know, what they've done, you know, makes them less or more or whatever. But it's more just what certain societies think and how they don't want to be open minded to certain I guess trends, if you want to call it that, and accept it for what it is at face value and nothing more.
Let me play devil's advocate on that one. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't be too open-minded to all trends. Because if we're open-minded to all trends and we're just letting anything go on, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We're just letting people in doing all kind of madness and then that leads to anarchy.
Okay.
I know you was saying, Vin, how did you get there from, you know, being open-minded to anarchy? But, like, you open-minded, then you stop following rules and stop following the norms and everybody doing their own thing. And next thing you know, nobody's doing the same thing and everybody doing what they want. And it's just chaos all over the place. Anarchy.
But that's why you have the men in society to keep order and to keep security and to impart wisdom to future generations, like Adani said.
So it has to be the men.
No, it doesn't have to be. But then one of the roles a man could play would be the stuff I mentioned earlier.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible for a woman to impart, I guess, the wisdom that a man would have imparted on a child? Let's say you have a family, the father died, and there's a woman raising the sons. Do you think she can impart on them the wisdom that, let's say, the father would have imparted on them if he was still around? Or is it that you need to go and find a father figure out there for them?
It's a deep question, especially the back end.
That's a very deep question. I personally think that's just my own views, so, you know, don't jump on my head. But I personally think that you need a father figure. It doesn't have to be another man that is, like, with the woman or anything like that, but you need a father figure.
I don't think
figure.
It has to be with
so
the woman.
So even though it's a grandfather, even though it's like a pastor in the church nearby, even though it's like somebody in the neighborhood, like, it takes a village to raise a child, is the saying, right?
Exactly.
So why then we want to put all the work on just one
person? Exactly.
Yeah. It takes a village to reach a child. And I still don't think that has changed. Still think that's the case.
But yeah, because
even two parents cannot be everywhere all the time.
Exactly. That's so true.
Yeah, it definitely takes a village to raise a child. So I don't believe that a woman on her own can replace a father figure. I think she can do the best that she can.
And that's not discrediting her.
Yeah.
She cannot do.
Yeah, exactly.
She will do the best that she can.
Yeah, but yeah. I think a child that grows up in a house with both parents is always going to be, I wouldn't say always, but majority of the time going to be more balanced than a child that just grows with either parent. So either only a man's perspective or only a woman's perspective.
Okay.
And to back up Danny's point, only. So there was no other perspective imparted on that child, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because to answer Vernon's question, it's hard for a woman to do such simply because of experience. Wisdom is fostered by experience. So it's a thing where she didn't experience the same things the guy did.
Okay.
Well, we're going based on the assumption that she didn't experience the same things, the guy would have, the guy in question here who's passed or who's not around. And to impart certain levels of wisdom, it's only based on her experience.
Yeah.
So it's always different because I know many mothers who are both father and mother. And it's not always easy for them. The child growing up loves it. The child growing up understands the world around them through their parent's eyes. But then for the mother, sometimes she only knows what she knows. You know, I mean, TV and books, blah, blah. You know, you can get information from other places. But I feel as if, like Adani said, the father figure, the ideal placement of a father figure in this child's life is always a good practice, whether it be somebody at, you know, the boys' training center, whether it be somebody at the youth club, somebody, an older cousin, just somebody that can give them that older perspective on
masculinity,
you know, I guess what it is to be a man.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And again, Adani, you raised the point about it taking a village to raise a child, and it goes back to that whole thing that Popo was saying earlier, that all how you look at it, it comes back to family. Family has something to do with it. So, yeah.
I mean, okay, so do you think women have a part to play in how men define themselves?
Yes. Sorry.
Why?
I say that with respect to the interactions with other women.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you think about it, I guarantee you at some point your mother always made some comment to you about, you don't talk to a lady like this, you say this to a lady, you do this, you do that. So you grew up with some kind of inclination based on what your mother has said, or maybe even you've seen your mother's reactions to your mother's interactions with other men. So you have an idea of how you should behave as a man with respect to women.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, I agree.
My mom would like, this is not how you treat a lady. This is how you should treat a lady. Try this with her instead next time. Do this with her instead next time. I once got into a fight with a girl in primary school, and then my mom was like, you know, you shouldn't hit a lady and whatever. Even after I told her the situation and the girl was still wrong, you know, she was still like, I shouldn't tell lady. Yeah. And then, you know, since then, you know, I've always kept that in mind, you know. Even in today's society, you know, it's getting more acceptable to do that.
I know, that's so sad.
I'm just thinking people forgot that it's not acceptable.
Because, that's horrible.
Yeah, because when you think about it, I guarantee you, every guy who's heard the whole thing about you shouldn't hit a lady, they've heard it from their mother or another lady. Because I don't remember my father being the one telling me that. I always remember my mother saying that.
Yeah, so, treat a girl better, you know, approach them better.
Yeah,
you know, come. Yeah. This is what will work, and this is what will work. I wouldn't say all mothers have done that, but I know for my mother and most of my friends' parents, like, you know, their mothers taught them that same thing. A girl like this, you know,
because with me growing up, I always had some girl I liked, you know, like dating back to preschool. I think her name was Kayla Devonish. And she was my preschool. She was my preschool sweetheart at the time. And I remember telling my mom I liked her. And my mom was like, why? And I'm like, she have a nice face. She have a nice face. Right? And it's a thing where
how simple it was.
I know, right?
The manly requirements, you know, for the like, she have a nice face.
No, but y'all say that. The requirements, by which we pick somebody is a lot lower than for women. Is that what it is?
Because
she have a nice face. Like that was it.
No, as in, while I grew up, I think those answers changed. So from stage one, stage two, stage three. Every time I came to
your requirements, may be lower than a female's requirements.
The thing is, at our age, in our age range, I think it's so deep for females when it comes to choosing a mate, because the requirements, I think, pretty face is literally not even on there. so they have to really, their list is deep. I mean, obviously, when girls talk comes around, they can deal with that question thoroughly. But from my perspective, so many things like that guys still hold as, I guess, characteristics they look for. Women don't even think of those things anymore when it comes to choosing a partner. Like, in our age range, so that's like 25 to 35 in that age range.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of women don't even look at those things. Like, a lot of things we mentioned earlier when it comes to security and just that self-assuredness. You know, those kind of qualities they look for. We're just out here thinking, yeah, boy. Physical, you know, we still limited to those given mentalities where physical plays a part. Not saying it doesn't play a part for women, but over time, you've heard from the women around us. You've heard physical doesn't play as big a part like it used to, you know.
Well, at this point, it's probably not even just physical for us alone. I mean, I know it's like
not alone, physical, but it's still on there.
You're not crazy. I can talk to you. Let's roll.
No. I like your crazy. This is the difference. I like your crazy.
No, you're right. I can put up your level of crazy.
Yeah.
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Going back to what we were saying about the impact of your mom and stuff. Every time I would come with something different, blah blah, this, that, and the other, she would ask me certain questions. And it was to see where I was at mentally when it comes to dealing with a woman, you know, and respecting a woman. And it was always along the line, like you guys said, of this, that, and the other. So I'll be giving tips and tricks.
So she was evaluating you.
Exactly.
To see where you were before she imparted some wisdom on you.
There we go. Exactly. And it's a thing where if I say, oh, this person hurt me or that, you know, like it, she always comforted me, but with experiential knowledge. It's not just like, it'll be okay with this different, or, you know, this will be better later on, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. But you see, another thing. So for me, one thing my mother always did, and she always made it like a business to make sure that all her sons, you know, you could cook, you can clean, you can take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. She always had in her mind that she don't need us to be dependent on any woman.
Yes.
Because
it makes you a better partner.
But I guess in her mind, and I guess back then, a lot of people in her time, a lot of men were unable to do certain things for themselves, so they were dependent on the women that they were with.
Mm-hmm.
So that if the woman decided she was leaving tomorrow, then the man was just there like, oh my God, what do I do? Kind of thing.
So you would cling on to her for practices that you should know on his own.
But my mother always made it known that, like, y'all have to know how to do this. So that if the day comes, y'all can survive on your own. Y'all don't need any woman. And it's not that she's not saying that we didn't need one, but, like, if you come to serve, you know, you can fend for yourself.
Yeah, I think self-sustenance is actually really attractive to women nowadays as well. So when you find a guy who can cook and clean, you're like, whoa, okay. Not that for them they don't have to do it, but they have a partner.
Well,
you know, it's always better to have a partner.
The good news is that guys talk. I hope they will tell us about that.
True, because when we clean, they'll tell us we didn't clean well. But anyway,
yes, because that's, we say that and then they come back on girls talking about what the fellas said was wrong. We don't want it, and I was like, oh shit, like.
Stop cleaning, you're doing wrong.
My whole life is a lie. Well, it's already happened to me that they tell me, oh, you didn't put my clothes in the right place, so stop putting my clothes away. So I know my place there. I'm not doing that. Because they say I just put the clothes where I feel like.
But you know, it's the fault that counts. Eh? So you tried to help. You know, you didn't get it right.
Say it again. Yeah. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, exactly. It's the thought that counts. Because I bet you there are plenty of men out there that are not even trying to put clothes away.
You know, like, I could have just left it there.
People made a song about folding clothes the other day and people were going wild. I'm like, I've been folding clothes forever. Nobody never go wild for me.
Because you're not J. Cool.
Boy.
That's the problem, you know, J. Cool. It's not that they want men not folding clothes, you know, it's just that J. Cool folding clothes is a big deal. Like, you know? Because then they come in and they say, so J. Cool can fold clothes and you can fold clothes. But then
you're singing your songs.
But J. Cole have multiple women.
It's not that actor folding the clothes. It's who's doing the folding of the clothes.
Oh, boy. We have some deep topics for y'all when girls stop reading. Yeah.
Oh, yes. They will fight us back on that
one. They will fight us. Yeah. So, Missy, what are some common issues you think affecting us as men today?
Health, mental health, physical health, in the terms of, when I say health, like, there was this stigma that was attached to going to the doctor and checking yourself out, you know, whether it be a colonoscopy or whatever it is, like, men need to take their own physical health seriously.
Not even as big as that, Popo. Just, you get sick, you have the cold. You will not go
take some meds.
You go try and breathe it out, right?
Take some
meds. Try and, you know, ease your pain, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Granted, when we sick, women, they say, well, it's like we dying, we the biggest babies and whatnot. But I mean, you have to think about it from our standpoint. Some of us, maybe we just don't get sick that often. So when we get sick, it's a big deal. Or some of us, like me, when we get sick, I just die and, you know, I just pull a Jesus and go to America day later.
It's a big thing because I've heard a lot of women complain about their own partners not taking their health seriously because they seem like, listen, I want to spend the rest of my life with you and the rest of my life is not next week. So check yourself. You know, go to the doctor if you have a flu, and it's only for about 2 weeks. Going, that's maybe bronchitis by now.
Yeah.
So you know, like take your health seriously. You know, the same way you take your sports team losing or winning seriously. You know, that's what they want. They want from us. And for me personally, mental health is big.
Yeah.
Because it's never affected me. It's never affected me directly, but. I've grown over the past, I would say, 7 years. I've grown via research and just my own understanding of mental health and the issues facing men. That it's so much bigger than we think it is when it comes to men, because there's a fear attached to talking about something.
Yeah, because that's what I was about to say. I think it's society that pushing us back on that one. Because if a fella come out and say he depressed, especially in the Caribbean, you come and say you depressed.
Where?
What are you depressed about?
Go and put Vicks. Go and put Vicks.
What are you depressed about? Shit, you talking? That kind of thing. But that's a big thing, you know. That's a very. And I don't think we take it seriously enough in the Caribbean, to be honest. The whole mental health thing. Like, I think we need to make it safe or make people feel safe, especially men, to come out and talk about mental issues. Say I'm depressed. Say, you know, something bothering me, them kind of things. Because you know what most men, you know what most of us do in the Caribbean. I say most of us. I'm not trying to generalize, but a big thing people do, you know, with regards to the whole mental health, instead of going to talk about it, they go and drink.
That is true. That is true.
You know, yep. I had a hard day, something bothering me. I go talk about it, I go just go and drink a couple of beers. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You go drink a couple of beers, you get drunk, and the problem's still there.
Yeah, that's very true.
Next year, and if we go back to our
beds the whole week.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And if we go back, so from this point we just made there, if we go back to our earlier statement about being sure, you know, of yourself and, you know, your self-worth and who you are, and you know that ability to actually speak through your feelings, you know, if you have a partner or friends you can actually talk to, it's always the best. It's always the best. Rather than taking drugs or drinking and stuff, it's always best to just approach it from that perspective, because, I mean, the approach in the, and you know, as we're trying to say, the approach in the Caribbean to mental health is to look down upon it. You know, you almost, the thing is, you're afraid half because you're a man and half because people will make fun of you, and you think to yourself, what's the point? You know, and it shouldn't be that way.
That's a big one for real. I don't know what you're like. Mm. Yeah. So, you think they have anything else affecting us as men today?
Just our accepting our emotions. Because I feel like we have emotions, but like we try to hide them either because of society or because like we think that, you know, it's not, you know, manly to have emotions, and then, you know, these things eat us up inside.
Yeah.
So all of that connects to the mental health, right? And then for the physical health, oftentimes something happened to us and we'll be like, put duct tape on it. Just throw a bandage on it, put duct tape on it, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You know, and we do that for emotions and our mental health as well, but for the physical health, we also do that. How many men you know that go and get checked regularly, you know, for like cancer and have their physical checkups yearly, check their teeth, stuff like that. So all these things, you know, attribute to our health and well-being. So we need to just be more active in, like, you know, discussing that one and then going and checking up on that and checking up on our friends. Like,
check on your friends.
When you're sick, go to the doctor. How many times my friend's sick and they're like, you'll just pass. Like, they have a flu, they have the something, you'll just pass.
Yeah.
You're like, no, dog, like, you've been sick for a week. Like, go to the doctor.
Check on that. Yeah,
yeah, go to the doctor.
Okay, let me say, I have one, and you're going to say, man, what? You crazy? How you can say that? Aggressive feminist.
What, Vernon? How you can say that?
Just let that sit in. And you must be wondering, like, how you can say that. But you ever see, and I think maybe that's just an internet thing, because I've never experienced an aggressive feminist in person. But, like, you say, don't lie, I'm talking seriously. You ever see, you, example, you go on Twitter, and you see maybe a fella tweet something, and maybe it's a little, in their words, misogynistic, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the aggressive feminists just come out of nowhere and just gang up on me. And then, like,
freedom of speech in a PC universe is a contradiction. This is the thing. You are not free to say what you feel or want to say sometimes, especially on social media.
So these kind of open forums. Maybe I shouldn't say aggressive feminism. Maybe I should just say the whole thing of political correctness. I think that's
aggressiveness. Because we say
certain things and then people come and bash us for it and say, oh, it's too this, it's too that. And sometimes it's just a thinking of us as a man.
You know what Danny said earlier? He was making a point and then he said it's his thoughts. It's his opinion. People are not allowed to express their opinion anymore. I mean, in some cases, we can look at certain political leaders of certain countries and be like, okay, certain people's opinions can stay locked up. I get that. That's because of the impact certain people have when it comes to society.
Exactly. Really out here just spewing their opinions, like.
And the reason I say that is because somebody I look up to when it comes to just social awareness is LeBron James, right? Not just because he's an amazing basketballer, but just his social awareness and how he carries himself in society.
Okay.
He can do so many things wrong, but he chooses to do the right thing. Now you
That's true.
Hold on.
I agree with that.
You give the perfect example, because you see when I said the thing about aggressive feminists, that's what I was talking about. So here's why I said that. I saw a while back, I think that was sometime in March, April, LeBron James tweeted something, you know, it was something with regards to Donald Trump. Donald Trump said something about some woman, and LeBron James tweeted something. And some feminists came and hopped under the tweet and began to go in on him about, oh, you want to talk. You spreading this this toxic misogyny with the way you're raising your sons and the way you're getting on. And it's like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, whoa, what is she talking about? Like, did LeBron James do something last night that I missed? Or something?
I know, right?
But it's stuff like that. It's like, I feel like they take the actions of one man and just give it to all men.
This is the thing, like, it's so hard for you to, because obviously when you see him around his sons, he's very macho and, you know, very, around his sons, because they play, while playing basketball, setting, but that's just one version of how he behaves. Look at him around his daughter. Look at him around his wife, who's been his high school sweetheart for all these years. Look at how he supports her in her business. You know, look at how they support each other when it comes to their businesses.
Well, you see, that's what I was about to say. When I see him around his family, his sons, his daughters, his wife, I see him being a man. He around his sons, supporting them in the basketball. He's showing them what to do, what not to do. Or he playing with them. He's not afraid to dunk on them. You know, have to dunk on your child. If I had a child, I would dunk on him for as long as I could. Because one day I would not be able to dunk on him, and he would be dunking on me. So, you know,
that's true.
Exactly. You know, you hear on his daughter, you know, playing. Like, so maybe to them they see it somewhere else, but to me, I just see it him being.
I think they must. I'm sure they did the whole social media bad practice of taking one 15-second frame of somebody's life of Instagram and blowing it up into a lifelong experience.
Well,
and
I cannot find that 15-second frame yet, eh? I'm still trying to, because I told you, like, I was sitting there at home and I was literally going through these tweets because I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, why is she just going in on you? But
listen, he's black, he has money, it's bound to be an easy target for people who have a PC agenda, because they're waiting. I mean, I'm not saying that it's hard for men in society who have wealth, but it's hard because their every move is calculated from the outside. Their every move is watched, and they're not allowed to fail, they're not allowed to falter, because as men, I think one of the key factors that resides within us is our ability to get back up and try again.
Yeah.
Once that fire dies within, then I feel as if, you know, a part of that manliness kind of goes with it, because there's this from let's go back again to caveman days. You know, the men were the hunter gatherers. And it's a thing where you go out and you succeed and you achieve your goal and you come back and you reap the rewards. So you should always be able to go out there and try again. I'm not saying some people cannot be punished for things that they've done, but I'm just saying, like, certain actions, you know, especially when you're, I don't mean to bring it around, you know, in that realm, but especially when you're black, you know, and you're winning for a long stretch of time and you falter once, I think, you know, society hits you really hard.
Okay, so I have a question. How do you guys feel about a man who decides he wants to be a stay-at-home father?
The thing is, right, I mean, I know when it comes to where you live in the world, or, you know, your age, race, culture, different things can play a part when it comes to being a man. So if all those factors can come together to make you decide that this is the norm, then you'll be the best stay-at-home father that there is.
Yeah, no, because I ask
you know
that,
what I'm saying?
I ask that because we talk about what we think this to be about, and we're saying about, you know, providing and supporting them kind of things. But what if that is his way of providing support for his significant other, in that she has an opportunity to go out and make as much money as possible and be bigger than he is and go further in her career, but all she needs is for him to stay home and take care of the children? Like, are we going to think of him as any less of a man? Because to me, that's when I give you props on that. That's being a man.
Yes.
Because you're willing to step back to let your significant other go forward.
Like you said, Vernon, earlier, you know, that, like, certain things you have no control over. Certain things you have to, you know, release the reins and allow your partner, which is a key word, your partner, to help you with. And in a partnership, we work together, we work in tandem. And if the man, his role at the moment is to be a stay-at-home dad, he has so much to do.
Yeah.
He has to cook, he has to clean, he has to take the kids to school, he has to make sure they do their homework. He has a lot of responsibility. So some men think instantly and think, oh, this is boring, I can't do that. Like, let me just go and find a little works there. But if the little works there, ego reap enough rewards, you know, for you going out, like, it's not worth it. Like, if that's the point.
If I had to do it, I'd be the best at home father.
That's what I'm talking about.
You would see me running around with my child, like, you know, attached to me on the friend, you know. Mm-hmm. I sip in my juice box too, Missy, you know.
Exactly. Hashtag hangover.
100%. But yeah, because like I said, I asked that because of that reason of, you know, if you know your significant other can go further in the career and whatnot, but I feel like society feels like, you know, if a man is at home not working, he not a man. That's a problem. You
know, I think it's and many women think that way.
Yeah,
I agree. But it depends on what value you add from the household out. Because if your value that you're adding is literally staying at home and being male, that's not enough. You have to add value from the household out.
No, I agree with you on that. You know? You have to add value.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
you can bring her lunch. You can do things.
Exactly.
Like you said earlier,
you still have to come home and cook and clean.
Exactly. Like you said, Vernon, earlier, being a cheerleader is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, make her feel like she's the best, whatever she is, again, in the world. Like, you have to impart that sort of cheer and character and I guess charisma from yourself to her. So she knows that she's going out there working for us. Not just for herself and her theatrum guy, you know.
But if in this day and age, like, honestly, like, to be a stay-at-home dad, to be a stay-at-home anything is difficult. Even
so true.
If it's a stay-at-home dad or stay-at-home mom, because the dollar doesn't go as far. Both parents usually need to contribute just to keep the household afloat. A lot of the time when people are stay at home such and such is because one person makes a salary that's fitting up two people.
So if you're making
a good bit of money, like, you can afford to have your wife stay at home.
No, but
if you're not, then it's very difficult for somebody to stay at home and one paycheck support the entire family.
I hear you, but at the same time, it's not only because somebody making the salary of two people, but sometimes it's just that it's more cost effective that way, because childcare, paying to bring your child to daycare, somebody to watch your child, that adds up. So sometimes it may be cheaper for you to stay home and take care of the child. You don't have to pay somebody.
That's especially, yes, because she's already done her maternity leave. She's already done her maternity leave, and like Brennan has said in this scenario, her career is thriving. I'm not saying that the man has a dead career, but if the opportunity is there for him to actually take a back seat when it comes to work and do that instead, all for it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes some guys see it as a demotion. I see it as, in your wife's or your partner's eyes, a promotion. Because they, like, that level of support is deep. Because a key part when it comes to being a man is pride and pride management.
Yeah.
So you have to know how to upgrade yourself and how to really not pride meter sometimes. Bring it down in the sense of controlling the pride and understanding that This is your moment to actually support somebody else. Oh. Because a man's pride is a massive thing, like his ego and stuff.
Yeah. It could be that you can stop seeing it as my pride and see it as our pride. Because
you're a unit, you're working together, that's the company,
that's the business. So if for the business to fire and, you know, go further, somebody has to take a back seat and do less, and the other person take on more, then so be it. But Hela, I have another question. Right? You're busy saying I have the most questions, but I have a question. I feel like there was a point in time where it was like, the more women you had, the more of a man people considered you. Society would consider, so, oh, he had 4 or 5 women in there, oh, he admits a, you know, big man kind of thing. You don't think that still counts today, that still matters, that mindset? You think it still goes that way?
I think to some it might matter, but I think to the majority of society, it's like monogamy is the way to go. A lot of people think that men kind of are less faithful now, but, you know, in past podcasts, we've shown that the statistics were that our parents were actually less faithful than we are. And they just didn't have as much social media and communication. You know, so it was easier to get underneath the radar with what you were doing.
It wasn't spreading that easy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think now, though, with social media and everything, like the trend is more towards monogamy, being with one person. If you don't like them, tell them you don't like them and move on. But, you know, there's still some people, a lot of people who have open relationships and whatever, and, you know, that's, you know, like, you know, relationships are a very convoluted process. So, but I think the general idea is that, you know, you should remain faithful and have one wife, one girlfriend, etc. But of course, in practice, that doesn't always work, and they still have some people that get away with it. But I personally, like, yeah, you know, like, you just stay with one person and, you know, do what you have to do, and then, you know, if you want to move on, and if you want to save them, you know, save them. Because, but I think that a lot of it deals with, like, people not getting the right person to begin with. They just getting, like, somebody to hold the space. So when they find somebody else, it's so much easier to just move on or just leave that person alongside your other person because you don't see that person as being your main person.
So, Hela, do you think we are horrible as men? We horrible at being alone? Like, you know,
I think it depends. It depends on what kind of guy you are, because I personally have no problems being alone, like, you know, but I have, like, a lot of extracurricular activities. I take photos, I take video, I go out and explore.
You play a lot of video games,
you know. Video games alone is, like, 65% of any man's free time. Like if you have a PS4, you're really not looking for any other woman, because your one woman that you have already don't you to play your PS4. So you're really not looking for any other women.
Yeah, but not only that alone, have a second.
Because you have to platinum.
Money, that's money you have going to platinum from your PS4. When you have the second one, that's money going in from the PS4. Not to say that the PS4 is what's stopping me from having, you know.
Although, if you play your cards right and you have the right kind of multiple women, they actually buy new games for your PS4.
We do not support that statement at all here.
I'm
just saying, I heard that's the word on the streets.
The view. This statement by Danny does not reflect the views of the podcast. You know? Just putting that out there.
So, like, in terms of the two questions, it's kind of funny, because back in the day when we were growing up and thing, and, like, I think having, you know what you said about, you know, the material side of things when it comes to being a man,
yeah.
I think having and providing went hand in hand. So you have a big house, you have the latest car, you know, you have 2 cars, you have a big Jeep, you have many women. It's about having it. So it's all into that
so those
other measured, years. Exactly.
What measured you?
The measure of a man. Exactly. Yes, so the measure of a man, ... Because the measure of a man is based on his own self-worth and, I guess, the people, his environment. So I guess some guys maybe had low self-esteem. Some guys had friends who or into those sort of things as well, where they have 2, 3, 5 women running, and it was the norm for that group.
Okay.
Right? When you look at groups like ours, you don't get those types of behaviors because of how we operate.
Yeah, I think you know, we're open.
Like,
I think our generation
exactly. Yeah, we operate differently, and it's like women nowadays have so much more to offer than just, you know, have a lot to offer on their own.
Yeah.
So they have a lot to, without the man, they have a lot to offer. So when you acquire multiple women, you have to deal with a lot. A lot, because you have to deal with so much more than back in the day. And like, I think a lot of these guys preyed on women who were not overachievers.
Yeah.
You know, but when you have, when your type list is overachievers, you can only have one of those in your life.
At that point, for a lot of them, it's like, what value are you adding to my life?
Exactly. Exactly. That's how I see it.
You are adding no kind of value. So.
Yeah, that's how I see it. And I feel as if when you find one who's well-rounded and adds, you know, that great value, you feel quite comfortable and you're ready to, you know.
Great value.
but you see, another thing is a lot of women, they're not afraid to just say what they want.
Exactly.
That's the thing. So you may think you come in there with some value and she'll want that from you. She just want this certain thing from you, X, and she'll tell you, all I need from you is X, and you can't give me X. Go on your business.
This is the thing. So you know how back in the day guys used to run women. Now you have women running men because they have, you know, Bob for this, you know, Eldon for this, Tyrone for this.
Guys, know yourself.
Call Tyrone.
Guys, know yourself. Set your game up. Don't let no woman run you, dog. Know yourself, guys.
Don't let Sandra play on Macy. Sandra have a 6-figure salary, but she not. Listen. You are good on your own, okay?
Yeah,
it's okay to cry.
You don't need Sandra, okay?
You don't need Sandra.
Yeah, you can do bad all by yourself. You're a strong, independent black man. I don't need no woman.
Yes.
Yeah. We come into the end, but you know, this is the last question to end. How can we as men improve and do better?
I think I would like to first and foremost say thank you for having me on the podcast this time around. Look forward to being on other editions of the podcast. And I'd like to close with an opening statement, again made by Adani, where it comes to teaching. So,
full circle.
Teaching, like, full circle. You know, teaching and imparting all the knowledge we've learned. Because we're in the age of information, right? Where we have, I mean, the three of us right now easily have at least 3 laptops, you know, 6 phones, etc. around us right now. And we can source so much from the internet, both past and present, and even ideas for the future. I think with going forward when it comes to raising our own families and you know, all the lessons that we've seen around us and the lessons we've learned, we can impart so much knowledge going forward. And it's a beautiful future that we can look forward to as men, whereby we can be better with ourselves and hopefully, you know, pass that on to the next generation.
Okay. Adani, your thoughts? How can we improve and do better?
I think we just need to do us as men, you know, believe in yourself. Believe in
yourself.
Believe in the teachings of your forefathers, you know. Believe in the teachings of what you learn today. Like, you know, and not just what you learn because of the pressure from society, but what you learn in a broader scale.
Yeah.
Like, I think so often, like, society kind of tries to send you down one road, but they, that's not always the one right road. Like, there are other right roads that you can go down that can lead you to the same general effect. But society is like, this is the road you have to take. And if you don't take it, then you're a shit man, and you don't belong in society, etc. Which is not,
you're a waste man, bruv.
So that's not always the case, right? And the people telling you what to do in society usually don't know what to do themselves. They usually learn from other people in society what to do as well. So it's just a lot of fake news.
Create but, your own path.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Create Don't your own afraid. Path. Like there's certain things you know are right, there's certain things you know are wrong to do. But don't be afraid to charter your own path.
Yeah.
Because chances are, when you charter your own path, in like the next month or two, that's the flavor of the month. That's what everybody is saying is now cool, and they wish they had done that before, and people who do that are so cool, and they have respect for the people who do this and this, etc.
Oh my God, so don't be afraid. Brave.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to stray from the norm. Chart your own path. Believe what you believe in, you know. And we... in the Caribbean, we have a different kind of lifestyle. We have a different kind of brought up sea. Like, you know, we were brought up, not dragged up. Like, you know, like we as Caribbean men, like we as Caribbean men know that you cannot make a Caribbean woman do anything she don't do. Like, yes, that is,
facts.
Yeah. Not only is that disrespect, but you're likely to get yourself killed.
Facts.
You know, like Caribbean women are built of from a different cloth. Like, you know, not to put shade, coconut trees, emojis over any other women but, that exist on the planet, or if you're from anywhere else, or if you mix with something else. But Caribbean women, and African women are built from a different cloth. Like, you cannot make these women do things that they don't want to do. You're likely to get yourself killed, castrated,
and
life
end up
ended.
Doing what you want to do in the end.
Exactly, exactly. They will kill you and you will still be a ghost cooking food in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like,
so, no true words have been spoken.
Right? Right. In many of our households, it's our mothers that lead in the charge. It's our mothers that calling the shots, is our mothers are managing things.
You see, too,
right?
That's
so true,
for
that's
me,
so
that's
true.
A big thing on our father's part, that they're willing to step back and let the women handle that.
Exactly.
Really
so for
control.
So part of being a Caribbean
share control, knowing
when your partner, knowing the strengths of your partner and knowing your strengths. Like, if your strength is not managing the finances, leave that to your partner.
Leave that to your partner. Like, don't get involved.
Yeah,
in that.
A man do have to manage the finances.
Yeah.
A woman don't have to cook and clean. Like, you know, if you're a better chef, then you know cook.
Yeah.
If you're better at washing clothes, then wash clothes,
yeah,
you know?
Because, I mean,
don't let society dictate, you know, what's manly and what's womanly.
Because, I mean,
like,
as you know, my dad does a lot of the cooking.
The
man likes
the lasagna, that lasagna dough.
Let me tell you.
Mr. Polius lasagna and some KFC chicken, Missy. Like, if you don't get married to that, are you really getting married?
I know, right?
Oh, wow. No, Missy, you all make some very good points there, and I agree. And to me, another thing I feel we can do better, like I see, is just, you know, be open. And when I say open, I mean open-minded. So, you know, open to new things. And open with your thoughts and your feelings. I don't say like you have to be out here blabbing and telling everybody everything, but you know, if you have a problem, speak up. It's the whole keep it inside brooding thing. Like, maybe that was cool for a while. I don't think that's cool anymore. Everybody out here speaking their mind, speak your mind, say what you want. Say your piece.
Right.
You know?
Say what you need to say.
Live your truth.
Yeah, and no, but Missy, also don't stray far from your values, because I guarantee you, everybody growing up, they were raised with some kind of values in life. Their parents teach them something about right and wrong, so don't stray far from your values, Missy. You know, try and stick to what's right and wrong. Yeah, and Danny, as you say, forge a new path and whatnot, but also forge a new path using them values you have of what's right and wrong.
Your own path.
Your own
path. It have to be new, but your own path
of what's right and wrong.
Yeah. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know pushing yourself onto women, that's not right, right?
Yeah.
And you that's not right at all. And then you know that there are other things that you know that are right, that come to you naturally, like, you know, like doing good things and giving back to the community and helping out other children in your community and, you know, stuff like that. So, like, you have a good understanding of what's good and what's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, don't let society can redefine
exactly
what you want to be because somebody had, like, a tweet that have, like, 20,000 likes. Like, you know, don't let that change.
Agreed.
How, yeah. Yeah, don't let that change how you want to raise your children, how you want to be a better person. Like, you know, you can do that all on your own without society putting pressure on you. And most of these people, they put pressure because they saw the pressure being put, so they try and be in the wave. So, you know, don't force yourself to be part of the wave just to be part of the wave. But do it because also, you want to.
Also, respect. Respect people.
Yeah, man.
Respect other men, respect women, respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to
you. You want me to respect you, but you have to respect people. Respect. If you out here, you know, if you out here disrespecting people, you're running around, you slapping people, you flipping tables, you do that kind of thing.
You wilding.
You have to have some kind of respect. If you want me to respect you, you have to give respect. And to a point, Popo said, check on your health, Missy. Mental health, physical health, you know. Talk to somebody if you have to talk to somebody. Don't think you can solve your problems in the bottom of a bottle or with drugs and them kind of things.
Yes, yes. Because even after your problems are done, you continue using the bottle for any other new problems.
Yeah, it's not a crutch, you see. You may feel like, boy, that is a soft. I soft if I have to go talk to somebody. It's a soft. They have nothing soft in seeking help.
Yeah. Look at it like you had... If you're able to recognize your problems
that's
the makings of a real man. Understanding when you're wrong.
When you're wrong.
And doing things to correct that.
And as you know, understanding, admitting, and doing things to correct it, Adani. That's the three things. I agree. Because if you can't recognize when you're wrong, boy, you're already a little boy. So.
Am I right? Agreed.
And you know, we don't have to be men. But.
Yes, I.
guys, it's been a good episode, you know. Popo, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, being a guest.
Yeah, man, thanks. Anytime.
You know.
Next guys talk, probably in another, 10 to 15 episodes?
You know, maybe. You never know, it might happen, you know.
Might be sooner.
If you guys like this. Yeah, let us know, you know. To Anushka, you have a hard task, sucker, because guys talk was amazing. So, be that.
Wild.
Sorry, that's how I talk. sorry. That's how I talk to my wife. I'm sorry about
that.
You know?
Oh, my God.
You know?
I love that he's encouraging her to be better. I like that.
Exactly. You know? I'm pushing her. Challenging
exactly.
Her.
Exactly.
That's the spirit. Yeah, you know? That's what. Yeah,
but you know,
no mediocrity around
here. No mediocrity. Next level. To the listeners, you know, share your thoughts and feelings on the topic today. Tweet at us. Let us know. If you think they have any other issues affecting us as men today, let us know. If you think they have anything we can do to be better, tweet at us. We want to hear. We want to know, guys. You know? Tweet at us. Oh, and buy some merchandise. Are you a real man if you don't buy Caribbean Millennials merchandise?
If you don't have a Caribbean Millennials mug, like, can you even call yourself a man?
Can you call yourself a man?
Can you call yourself a woman? Can you call yourself anything?
Anything. All right.
Can you call yourself?
Oh.
Can you call yourself?
Do you even?
Okay, Freud. Freud.
Right. So it's been another episode, guys. We'll see you next week.